It's a good book, and will tell us something that we need to know. Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 1. On that day they read in the book of Moses, in the audience of the people, and therein was found written, that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit our God turned the curse into a blessing. Now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. Before this, Elishab the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God, was allied unto Tobiah. And he had prepared for him a great chamber, where aforetimes they laid the meat offerings, the frankincense, and the vessels, the tithes of the corn, the new wine, the oil, which was commanded to be given to the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the offerings of the priest. But in all this time was not I at Jerusalem. For in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, came I unto the king. After certain days I obtained I leave of the king. And I came to Jerusalem and understood of the evil that Elishab did for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. And it grieved me sore, therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. Then I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers, and thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God with a meat offering and the frankincense. And I perceived that the portion to the Levites had not been given them, for the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled every one to his field. Then contended I with the rulers, and said, Why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. Then brought all Judah the tithe of the corn, the new wine, the oil, unto the treasuries. And I made treasurers over the treasuries. Shelemiah the priest, and Zadok the scribe, and the Levites, Pedaiah. Next to them was Hanan the son of Zarkat, the son of Mattaniah, for they were counted faithful. And their office was to distribute unto their brethren. Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God, and for the offices thereof. Father, help us tonight. As we open now the Word of God, we pray you'd bless the reading of the Scripture. And Lord, the message tonight, the Lord, restore us, revive us, and move in our lives tonight. Through the Word of God, we'll bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want to go back now to verses 1 tonight and notice some things. And there's a thought that I had upon my heart for the service tonight. And as I read this, the Lord placed this upon my heart before I ever read it, actually, is restoration. I'm glad God restores. I'm glad He restores. David said it well when David said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Restoration. The people of God has to have that every once in a while. We find as we live longer in this earth that we are not perfect. We are failures in many ways, and we fall short of the glory of God many times, and we got to be restored every once in a while. There comes a time when every child of God needs to get away along with God and restore some things in his life that needs restoring, that he's gotten away from. So Nehemiah, we know the story of Nehemiah here in the book of Nehemiah, how that he went back to the land and began to build again the walls and restore the gates and so forth, that he was doing that. And of course, there's a spiritual meaning in that too. We studied that before. But I want you to notice that restoration involves some things that we have to have to be restored. There's nobody ever been restored without the Word of God. And the Bible said, notice in verses 1, on that day they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written. And so they found the Word of God. They begin to read the scriptures. And as we read down through the rest of that, we found out that they read some things and some things that were not going like they're supposed to go in the house of God. And they began to do some corrections on that and begin to be restored to fellowship with their God. We needless to say, they was out of fellowship with God. They were still God's people. They still belonged to God. But they were out of fellowship with Him. And there had to be some restoration take place now. And so they got to get back to the book. First of all, you got to get the book to be restored. You got to go back to the Bible. Because in the Bible, it holds everything that we need, even after that we're saved by the grace of God. The majority of the Bible is written for God's people. And so we get to be restored. The restoration had to take place by getting back to the book of God. There's again over, and when they said, bring the book. And so the book of God has got to be get back into the book to be restored. So restoration takes place. And what Nehemiah was concerned about was the people of God had gotten away from where they used to be. It's something we have to guard on our lives every day. We have to guard ourselves. And it's not a sudden change that takes place in God's people's lives, but it's a gradual change that takes place in our lives. We begin to give in and give over, and so that's what they began to do. They began to do that because the Amorites and the Moabites and all of this, they're being intermingling with them. They were not supposed to do that, and we'll cover more of that in a little while. And so, but that we find getting back to the book because they'd gotten away from the direction and from the Word of God. What God had told them what not to do, they were doing. And so that's what we do many times. And so you notice whose fault is that? Well, we try to blame it on everybody. We try to blame it on the devil. But most of the time, it's not the devil's fault because he's doing what he always does, and we give in to that. So it's our fault when we give over to the things the devil wants us to do. Now look in verse 4. The fault, of course, lies in the priest and the one that was over the house of God. The Bible said in verses 4, And before this, what? Before they'd gotten away from God. And before this, Elisha, the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God, was allied unto Tobiah. So there was an unholy alliance here. There was something that he was, who he was fellowshipping with. And that'll carry anybody out of fellowship with God when we're with those that we should not be in fellowship with. Now we're supposed to witness to the sinner. We're supposed to witness to the backslider. But we can't do what they do. And we can't go where they go. And we can't conduct ourselves as they conduct themselves. And so there was the fault of it lie in the priest. The priest, the one that was over the house of God. He had oversight of the chamber, the house of our God, but he was allied. You know what that means? I mean, he was connected up with Tobiah. We know who Tobiah was. Remember back over in chapters 1 and 2, back over though Tobiah and the others that were against the work of the Lord going forward. Tobiah was one of them. We thought maybe by this time he disappeared. But he hadn't disappeared. He came right back in the place where he wanted to be. And he hadn't given up. He hadn't given up not a bit. Back over in chapter 2 and verses 17, when Nehemiah said to them, "You see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall at Jerusalem, be no more reproached." Then I told them of the hand of my God, which is good upon me, as also the king's word that he has spoken unto me. And they said, "Let us rise up and build, so they strengthen their hands for this good work." But, there's that word, but. But when Sanballat the Horonite, we remember him. Now, this is the first time there was restoration took place in the land. Nehemiah had been gone from the land here. And we're going to go over to chapter 12, 13. He'd been gone and he came back. And he came back. What did he find? He found there was a failure of leadership in the house of God. And so he found, and here we find there was Sanballat, and then there was Tobiah. There was Tobiah. You remember him? The servant. And 14. Listen, all this time later about, he was still there. And he had gotten himself in with the priest and gotten himself in with the one of leadership and began to draw them away from the things of God. So Tobiah wasn't on vacation. Brother, he was working on the inside, trying to get on the inside to the leadership there, and he had done pretty good. He was doing pretty good for himself. If you'll notice now, the Bible said, and he said, and was allied unto Tobiah, and he had prepared for him a great chamber. And boy, he was living there in the temple. He was right there in the temple. One that wanted God's people not to be there and do anything and was against them, that he had allied with the priest and got on the inside of God's leadership and, brother, brought corruption to Israel. They'd gotten themselves in a mess again. And so they got themselves right back to the place they needed restoring again. He restored them the first time. He restored the land. He restored the walls. He restored them to their spiritual condition. They're all excited about the things of God. We read that over in Nehemiah, the first part of those chapters. But now he'd gotten in and they'd gotten away from God. And so there was a need for restoration. And the Bible said, "For we prepared for him a great chamber, which aforetimes they laid the meat offerings, the frankincense, and the vessels, and the tithes of the corn, the new wine, and the oil, which was commanded to be given to the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the offerings of the priests." And he was where they used to bring the thing to the house of God to take care of the house of God. There was nothing there but Tobiah and he set up household in the house of God. And so there was nothing for the offerings. There was nothing there for the priests. There was nothing there for the singers and the conduct of business in the house of God. There was nothing there. Tobiah was living within the house of God. And so there needed to be a restoration take place. And so Nehemiah, I'm telling you, Brother Nehemiah, I appreciate this man. And the Bible said, let's go a little bit further. He said, "But in all this time was not I at Jerusalem." This is Nehemiah talking now. "For in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, came I unto the king, and after certain days I obtained I leave of the king. And I came to Jerusalem and understood of the evil that Elisha did." Not Tobiah. Not those that was there before, but that Elisha, the priest, the evil that Elisha did for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God, brought the house of God to just a common place. Nothing. The power of God wasn't there. I mean, the servants of God had nothing to work with. The congregation had nothing to supply the priest with. Everything was in disarray. There needed to be a restoration in the house of God. And I praise God for some places today that we can have in the midst of sinful world that we have today. I can praise God. We can have a place where God's work is going on and God's work is prospering for the glory of God. And sinners can get saved and not be allied with the things of this world. Bringing those things into the house of God. Bringing them to the house of God. That's what they were doing. And we could go out. We could talk for an hour on what's going on in the church world today. But you and I know exactly what's taking place in the world today. They're concerned with everything else except the work of the Lord and seeing souls saved by the grace of God. Now, I told you, it's not just the big churches doing that. It's some little churches too, that's doing that very thing today. I know what I'm talking about. And I've been around the block, as the preacher said, been to a fair and something, hog show. I don't know what all he's been to. But anyway, I've been around the block too. But look at what he said here. And so he said, there needs to be something to play. He was undercutting Nehemiah. The burden of Nehemiah was on the house of God. That's why, listen, he was there because he loved the house of God. He loved the people of God. He loved the land of Israel. He was there because of his love. But he went back there to where he was after a period of time. Then when he came back, he found the corruption that had moved in. It don't take long for corruption to move in. Amen. Don't take very long. It's sort of like when you move out of a piece of land and get away from it and never go back to it. Don't take long for the earth to take back that land. And pretty soon, just like when I went down to my dad's place where he used to have a big flourishing garden and everything, and I tell you, he grew a garden, it looked like the Garden of Eden. I go back down there now, and it's woods there because it had never been taken care of. Nobody planted vegetables anymore. And so that's what it takes spiritually for a church to get to. If there's nobody to keep us reminded where we ought to be and what we're doing for the glory of God, whether we get back to the way just like the world's getting today in the church world. Amen. I'm proud. I'm glad and proud too of what God's given us here in this place. You say, well, it hadn't got the crowds. I know that. But I know exactly how we could get them. We could get them the same way that Elisha got them. We could ally with Tobiah and with others in this world. We could line up things that would bring the crowds in. But there'd be no glory of God in the midst of the place. Glory of God would be gone. And so listen, restoration has got to take place every once in a while. I need restoring every once in a while. Don't you? I need restoring every once in a while. Brother, keep the fire burning. Keep the fire burning. Amen. It may get down to ashes every once in a while, but if you get to digging around in there, there's some fire on the inside. Just put some kindling there and get the fire going again. And we need to remind us some things. So we find he was undercutting Nehemiah. He was undercutting him. And when he came to Jerusalem and understood of the evil that Elisha did for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God, he said, it grieved me sore. Therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. There's the true heart of a shepherd when he sees what's taking place in the house of God. He grieved himself. He was grieved sore because of that. Amen. You see, a pastor is not just a preacher. He's a pastor. He's a shepherd. And it grieves him when sin moves in to a place. I've seen places where I used to be that I've grieved because things are taking place in some of those places. And so he brought grief to him. He said, therefore, what did he do? Well, I tell you what he did. He did something about it. You don't let Nehemiah find out something like this that's going on without him doing something about it. He was grieved. He was grieved sore about what was taking place. He was shocked to his core about what took place. Elisha, the priest that should have been keeping the fire burning, but instead he was given over to Tobiah and to the things of this world. He said, then I command thee, listen, he said, it grieved me sore. Therefore, I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. He just threw it out the door. He cast it all out of the chamber. There wasn't even a letter of reprimand. No, brother, you get out of this place. You don't belong here. I mean, he had already stated what he was back in chapter 3. He already stated what they did not want, but he allied himself to the priest and worked himself in little by little, year by year, and got in with the priest, and he moved him into the house of God. Amen. So he said, and then he said, I want you to notice this. First of all, let's go to verse 21 of the same chapter. I want you to notice, first of all, he threatened. Amen. He threatened. You say, you mean, he said, I testified against them. I testified against them. He wasn't afraid to stand up and tell them what's going on. I testified against them and said unto them, Why lodge ye about the wall? You see, he told them to get out and not bring the Sabbath day would come. They would come back to the house of God and they would come within the walls there. He told them, said, you get out. Don't you come back here on the Sabbath day. Sabbath day, keep it holy. That's what they were doing back in those days. Kept it holy. Every dispensation needs a day of rest and a day of worship. Amen? That's why we got the Lord's Day. We don't have the Sabbath day anymore. We're not under the law, but we got the first day of the week, the day of the Lord, when Jesus worshiped him. The day he got up, amen. And so listen, that he would threaten them. He threatened them. And then he contended with them. Look in verse 25. Verse 25, and I contended with them and cursed them and smote certain of them and plucked off their hair. He got pretty rough. He pulled their hair out. Amen. Now, it's not our day today. I know we can't do that. We've got the Spirit of God within us and we've got a spirit of love. Of course, back in those different those days, we better be glad we're not living under the law now. Amen. There'd be some things taking place. It wouldn't be very much fun. Amen. And so he said, what did he tell them there? He said in verses 21, and he said, I will lay hands on you. I'll lay hands on you. And from that time forth, they came no more on the Sabbath. So they didn't come back on the Sabbath day. And so he contended with them. There in verse 25, and cursed them, and smote certain of them, and plucked off their hair. He wasn't saying curse words. He put a curse upon them. That's what he was doing, amen, in those days. And he said, and made them swear by God, saying, you shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons, or for yourselves. So he was contending with the people of God, amen. And then there was those that would come there had to sell their wares and do things on the Sabbath day. And so he contended with them. He got physical with them in verses 28. And one of the sons of Josiah, Joiada, and the son of Elisheba, the high priest, was son-in-law to Sanballat, the Horonite. Therefore, I chased him from me. You get out of here. He chased him out. Amen. I like this man, don't you? I sort of like this man. Amen. And so there was, he chased him out. And Nehemiah, what did Nehemiah do? He took control of the situation. Restoration has to have someone in control of the restoration process. And the God, the Holy Ghost, does it today in our lives. And through our church and through our pastor. Then we're directed and helped to be continually restored and keep us to where that we ought to be for the glory of God. That's what it's for. We're subject to do things wrong. Amen. And anybody that tells you they ain't never done nothing wrong, I'm telling you they just done something wrong by telling the story right then. Because we do. Amen. And so listen, and there was what Nehemiah began to take control. Verses 21 and 22, I've already read that. He commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves and that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy. He recognized his own capability of doing what they had done. Lord, show me mercy. He cast himself upon the mercy of God. So what did he do? He began to take control of the situation. He took control of the order of it. Back up in verse 10, I skipped this a while ago, but he took control of the order of it. And I perceived that the portion of the Levites had not been given them. The Levites had been doing without of what they were supposed to receive from the offerings that come to the house of God. Instead, they were spending it upon, what's his name? Amen. Spending it on him. Tobiah. So they're spending on him. He began to take control. He said, I continue with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? I gathered them together and set them in their place. He put things in their place. The singers, the order of the house of God, those that were taking care of the altars, those that were taking care of the things of God, that was taking care of the money and the things of that. He set everything back in order like it was supposed to be. The world don't understand God's order, do they? Even in the church world today, they don't understand God's order. How God works and how God does things. Even today, they don't understand that. Then brought all Judah the tithe. Began to bring their tithes back. The corn, the new wine, the oil, and the treasuries. Brought it back to the treasuries. The treasury was dry. There's nothing going on. No outreach. No worship. Everything was dead and programmed, but it was gone. And he began to restore. When you get God's people restored, they begin to restore their order. And that's what he was doing here. I made treasuries over the treasury. I made treasures over the treasuries. Shemaiah, the priest, and Zadok, the scribe, and the Levites, Pedaiah. Next to them was Hanan, the son of Zechut, the son of Matana, for they were counted faithful. He sought out the faithful of the house of God and put them over the things that were going on in the house of God. He sought out the faithful. Their office was to distribute unto their brethren. Remember me, O my God, concerning this. Wipe not out my good deeds that I've done for the house of my God and for the offices thereof. So what did he do? He took control of the order of the church. He took control of the separation of the church. Amen. The separation. They'd gotten where their separation was gone. Chapter 13, the Bible said, there's in verses 1, they read in the book of Moses that the audience of the people therein was found written in the book, the Ammonite, the Moabite, should not come to the congregation of God forever. Because they met not the children of Israel at bread and water, but hired Balaam against them. And they fought against the people of God. There they were, mixed up with the people of God. He had to restore the separation. That they'd gotten away from the separation. I'm glad the Bible said in the New Testament, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. I've got good friends that are lost. I've got good friends that's away from God. But I cannot do what they're doing. I can't partake of what they're doing, but I'm friends with them. And I try to win them to the Lord. But they intermingled with them and gave their sons and daughters to their sons and daughters, and everything was all mixed up together. They'd got in a mess. While Nehemiah was gone, but praise God, he came back. Restoration began to take place. All the way down through these scriptures there in chapter 13, and verse 3, and when they heard the law, when they heard the word of God, they responded, and they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. So they responded to the restoration that God was doing there in that land, responded to it.